You have your Bibles tonight and we'll turn, please, to the book of Psalms again. The book of Psalms, chapter number 139. We've been in the book of Psalms the last three services here at the church. It's somewhat unusual for me to stay in the same book for several services. But my heart keeps being drawn back to these verses and to this book. And I appreciate the Lord knowing what we stand in need of. And I don't feel like I have a great deal tonight, but I want to try my best to give you what's on my heart. Trust that the Lord will use it to help us all. And maybe we could leave here. I know we can leave here better than we come if the Lord will meet with us and help us. I'm confident to say that in what has already went on, in the good singing, it lifted my spirits. And then in the liberty to pray, I could leave now and say I'm better than I was when I come. Not me, but what's working in me is bettered by coming and being already in the house of God. And that's why we come, to leave better than we come. And to let the Lord do His work in us. Psalm 139, if you found your place and you're willing to stand and able to do so, we will tonight. Psalm 139, I want to read the last two verses and try to give you what's on my heart for the service tonight. Psalm 139 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Read these verses here, and it's attributed to David as this psalm is written. And what David is saying here, doing here, is he is voluntarily submitting to God to search him. This is not a constrained search as there is sometimes in our life. And I think you'll understand what I'm talking about when the Lord comes on the scene and he seizes our heart and searches us without us voluntarily submitting to it. But then there are also those times in our life that we, and that's where David finds himself, that he has a desire to get closer to God. And so he's willing to do whatever it takes to get closer to Him. And he realizes who he is, and he realizes what he is. He knows that he is but flesh. And Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." There's nothing good about us. And many times because that we are fallible and we're faulty and we come short, sometimes we are so natured that we don't even see what it is that's between us and God. Sometimes it's something so small that it takes the microscope of the Word of God and the work of the Holy Ghost to reveal to us what it may be that stands between us and moving closer to God. And so that's what David is asking for here, is for God to search him and to find out if there is something that would hinder him from moving up. And I began to read these words, and there is an old hymn. I don't know if it's in our Redback hymn or not. I think it is. But there is an old hymn that's written exactly from these verses and these words. And the hymn writer said, as David did, "Search me, O God." And I began to think about this and got to looking at these words and all that David's saying at this moment. He's not interested in what everybody else is doing. He's not interested in whether his brother has done him wrong. He's not interested in whether somebody else is closer to God than He is. He's not interested in what the church up the road is doing. But David gets very personal with God. And he says, "Search me. Know my heart." He didn't go to God as we probably do from time to time and say, "Now God, you know so and so." He doesn't spend any of his time bothering with that. He said, "I've got enough about myself to deal with." I think we'd be in better shape today in our churches in this modern day if we'd stop worrying about what everybody else is doing or not doing, or what they think or don't think, or what they say or don't say, and just worry about us and God. And David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my faults, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This is not a sinner's prayer. This is not some outcast, some alien away from God asking for God to see if there's anything wrong. If they're a sinner, there is something wrong. But this is a child of God, a man after God's own heart, that's crying out and saying that maybe there was a time, God, when I was closer to you than I am now, and I want to know what it is that's standing between me and you, and let's get rid of it that I can get close again. David knew of a time that he walked hand in hand with God. I don't know where in David's life that he's wrote this psalm. I guess some commentator probably theorizes about when it's written. I don't know. But I know that if we look long enough in the life of the psalmist David, we'll see some high times, but we'll also see some very low times. And it could be in one of them low times that he's saying, "Oh God, I want to get back up on the mountain and back where we used to be. And I want to know, God, I can't see it, but there's something in the way. Will you search me and show me what it is?" All these words. I don't want to get very technical, but I just want to preach it how God put it in me to preach. All of these words, if you study them out in their context and in their written language, they all have medical terminology. And so as I begin to think about that, God, it's like just turned the light bulb on. I want to be honest with you. I don't know how it works with you sometimes. But the Lord led me to this scripture, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and I said, "Lord, I still don't understand what you're trying to get at here." And then all of a sudden the light bulb turned on, and God said, "I want you to preach on when was your last checkup. When's the last time you went to Him and got a checkup?" Now, a checkup, if we're going to go to the doctor, we don't go for a checkup when we know something's wrong. We go for a checkup just to make sure something ain't wrong. And so when we go, it's not that we're pressed to go. It's not that some disease makes us go. But we voluntarily submit and ask the doctor to look, to examine, to check us out, and make sure nothing's wrong. I wonder when the last time we went to God without being pressed by our sin to go there. Without being condemned by the Holy Ghost to go there. We just wanted to make sure that there wasn't something that was keeping us from moving up a little closer to God. I want to know, when's the last time you let the great physician spiritually check up on you? Voluntarily submit. Say, "Lord, here I am. I know I'm not perfect, but I don't know of any bad things or big things I've done today. But you just say, search me. And if there's something you find that ain't right, point it out and let's deal with it." Now, you know, if you go to the doctor and you don't know that something's wrong, and there is something wrong, you want him to point it out. You want him to put his finger on it and identify it and say, "Right here's the problem." Maybe there's something going on in your life. some symptom that you don't understand. Maybe it's livable. Maybe it's manageable, but you just aren't happy or satisfied like you used to be. And so you go to the doctor and you say, I don't know why this is happening, but I'd like for you to give me a checkup and see if you can find the problem. Wonder when the last time you realized that maybe, I won't say when's the last time we, I don't want to preach at you, I want to preach to us. When's the last time we realized that we're just not satisfied like we used to be? And I'm not talking about a bad satisfaction. There is a good satisfaction about being satisfied in the Lord. But maybe you're not there and you can't put your finger on it. But if we could just get a checkup, He can identify the source of the problem. That's why David asked, and he said, search me. That word search means to examine thoroughly. That word search literally means to penetrate. It's kind of like something going on the inside of your body physically. And the doctor, with all his technology, saying all we have to do is take an x-ray, all we have to do is have a scan, and I can see what's going on the inside. You say, well, no, just look at me from the outside and make your best diagnosis that way. You say, well, that's foolish. You're mighty right. And it's no more foolish for us to not submit to God and to get under the light of the Word of God and say, Lord, don't just work on the outside, but let's search way down deep in the hidden corners and the dark places and bring to light the source of the problem. Let it penetrate. The Bible said the Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. He can split the bones open and make sure there ain't something wrong. Where did that come about in the Old Testament? When they had a sacrifice, the priest would go so far in checking it to be clean that they would split open the bones and make sure there wasn't something, for all they had hinged on God accepting the sacrifice. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not talking about our salvation, but I'm talking about our satisfaction and our closeness to God. It all, if we could get it in our hearts and in our minds that our relationship with God hinges on the fact of whether or not He's satisfied with us. We're the living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Not to the brethren, not to the preacher, not to your husband or your wife, but we, our ultimate one to please and satisfy and be acceptable is God. And by the way, all the tests and stuff that man runs, and I don't want to embarrass anybody or point anybody out, but we was talking before service, and me and my wife was talking last night. Sister Kelly talked to her about some things the doctor had found about results of tests that man has run over the years. But I'm going to tell you what, his tests, they never do have any negative side effects. They won't bother you at all. They might convict you. They might trouble you. They might put you under pressure. I don't want to get it right, but they will never have negative side effects. So we just submit. Voluntarily submit and say, Lord, search me. Then He said, and know my heart. He said, Lord, I want you to reveal. That's what that word know. To bring a revelation. Not to Him, He knows. But I want you to reveal to me what's inside my heart. I can't see it in my heart, Lord. I don't know what all's going on in there. I don't know what's hidden in the dark places. I want you to know my heart. That's like going to the doctor and them asking what's wrong. They say, we don't know, but we can run some tests and we can find out. And so then they run tests. Or you go to the cardiologist and go to the heart tearing mission. They run that scope and they run that catheterization up in your heart to see if there's blockages, see if there's problems. And you know what? It reveals the problem. That's what we ought to want God to do. Lord, get down in there where all the trouble lies. And that's where your trouble lies, inside your heart. The Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I tell you who, the Lord. He's the only one. That's the way the language is written. That the writer said the heart's wicked and nobody can know it. Really is what that means. But David said, Lord, know my heart. Look at me. See what it is. You have the wisdom. You have the training. What David's asking for is a diagnosis. When's the last time you asked the Lord to diagnose you? To find out what it is that's going wrong in your heart. And do the work that needs to be done. Then he said, try me. Put me to the test. Put me through whatever I need to go through to bring about the desired result. Sounds to me like David's pretty desperate to get closer to God. And know my thoughts. Not just my heart, Lord, but know my thoughts. And see, in verse 24, if there be any wicked way in me. That word see means to give attention to. He said, Lord, here I am, and I know I don't deserve it, but I sure would like to have your attention for a minute. I wonder if there's something in your life that needs his attention. I was talking to somebody, well, it was last night, actually. Last night I went to a meeting last night to hear Brother Pace. He was in the area. And we sat in the truck afterwards. He wanted to talk, and we got to talking about doctors, and his wife's sick and not doing very well right now. And he said, I've heard stories about people that have waited 6 or 8 months. Some of you here under the sound of my voice have probably been in the same shape. You wait 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months or 8 months or a year to go in to see a specialist. He was talking about some woman that he had heard about that waited 6 months to see a kidney specialist and said she stayed in the room. The doctor stayed in the room for 5 minutes, did nothing. That woman did not have the doctor's attention at all and said, well, you'll just have to make another appointment. I'm out of time. It'll be another 6 months before I can see you again. You know what happened? That doctor had so much on them, they didn't have time to give the patients the attention they needed. I'm going to tell you something about our doctor. It don't matter how many patients are on his load, he's got all the time in the world. I never have got in his examination room and some orderly come by and say, I'm sorry, the doctor's out of business. He don't have time to see you now. But every time I've ever got in the room, he's come in and he said, you have my undivided attention. Somebody wrote a song. I think the Primitives might have sung it. I ain't never heard them sing it, but I heard another dear saint of God that's died and went off the scene sing it. And they got to talking about how our father has a great big family. And they said, well, in the chorus, I think, it said, you asked me how he divides his time. In other words, the writer said, somebody's asked me how in the world, with all the children that our father has, how does any of us have time? And they said, well, I tell you, I never have to stand in line. He loves me like I was his only child. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad he's got time. And I'm glad you can get his attention. If you could talk to some of those of old, I thought about old Bartimaeus sitting by the highway side, everybody passing him by, him crying out. The disciples said, be quiet, don't bother the master. But the Bible said he cried the more. You say, what was he doing? Trying to get the Lord's attention. He was saying, you're my only hope. Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Some of the greatest words ever recorded about Bartimaeus' case, it said Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they come, the Bible said, that same crowd that said, don't bother him, that same crowd that said, be quiet, they came and said, rise, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. And the Bible said they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do for thee? In other words, he said, all right, son, you have my attention. What do you need today? I don't know about you, but it ain't every time I pray, but they've been a few times that I've cried out for help and didn't know what to do, but just say, help, Lord. And about that time, something called the Holy Ghost in my soul said, just go ahead and tell him you've got his attention. It's like he said, what do you need today? I want to know if you're in that shape, sitting by the highway side, in need of something. You might know what the need is. You might have a partial understanding, but don't understand it all. Just come to him. Ask him to see. Ask him to know. Ask him to search and get his attention. You can get it. And he can help you. And then he said, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He said, Lord, run your tests. Do all the examination you got to do. Search me up and down and inside and out. Diagnose me with the problem. But don't leave me there. Treat the problem. Give me a prescription to treat the problem. Sometimes you go to the doctor and he said, all right, here's the problem. And I'm going to tell you how mankind is. First thing we want to say is, all right, what kind of pill will fix it? But sometimes the doctor said it's not in a pill. It's in a lifestyle change. You're going to have to change the way you're living. Going to have to change what you're eating. Going to have to change where you're going or what you're doing. You're going to have to change them habits that you have on the side. And sometimes he does have a prescription. But more often than not, our great physician says, if you want it fixed, going to have to change some things. I'm going to tell you, he don't practice medicine. He just does it. All these doctors today, that's what they give them, a license to practice medicine. Because they are fallible, they mess up, they make mistakes. But our Lord never has made one. And I can guarantee if he gives you a prescription, if you'll follow the directions, it will cure and come out with the desired result every time. Then some people go to the doctor and they say, well, I've read good studies and good things about this drug, but I don't know that much about it, but I want to put you on it, and we're going to try and see if it works. The Lord doesn't operate that way. When he identifies the problem, when he scans you out and identifies the root of the issue and writes you a prescription, if you'll take it exactly like he says, it will fix what's wrong. Every time. See, we go for a checkup to make sure something's not wrong. We go for a checkup and not just to make sure something's not wrong, but if they do find something wrong, to map out a treatment plan. We want it fixed. I want to know tonight, if you have went to him and he said something's wrong, and he's mapped out you a plan, won't you just do what he says? Won't you just take the prescription that he's given you? It'll fix it. But then I thought, and I'm done tonight. And it's amazing to me, I've heard Brother Tim say it in Sunday school. And I did believe it and had it happen to me at times. But sometimes are more astounding than others. I was thinking about this message and thinking the thought just kept rolling over rolling over in my mind about a checkup, about a checkup. And all of a sudden into my mind, my oldest girl, I think, when she was little, watched a television show. And the theme song talked about it being time for a checkup. And I thought, you know, we as adults, we just go for a checkup, make sure something ain't wrong. But when a child goes, they go for a checkup to measure how they've grown. They want to make sure that there's not some deficiency keeping them from growing like they ought to grow. And we are the children of God. And so when we go for a checkup, the Lord pulls out the chart. And He's not comparing us to everybody else. He's only comparing us to one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, you're not measuring up like you ought to be. There's a deficiency. And you need to do this. And you need to do that. If we as parents went to the doctor and our doctor for our children walked in and said, if you don't do this for your child, if you don't give this to your child, if you don't get this for your child, if they don't take this, they will be deficient the rest of their lives. We'd pay whatever it took to make sure that they grew like they were supposed to grow. And then yet we come into the house of God and the Word of God is preached and the Holy Ghost speaks to our heart. God puts that light on us and measures us. We're not measuring against each other. We're not measuring against some other church. We're not measuring against our husband or our wife or our mom or our dad. But He measures up against the pattern. The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a revelation right here. Anytime you're ever measured up against Him, you'll be deficient every time. But the Lord says, if you'll just take a little more of this right here, it'll help you grow. If you'll just spend a little more time in the prayer closet, it'll help you grow. I want to know, when was your last checkup? Do you need one tonight? Has the Lord spoke to your heart? Has He turned the light on in your heart? Has the examination already begun? And inside of you, there's a desire to grow. I'm not talking about you being out in wickedness and doing ungodly things, but is there not a desire in you to get closer to Him? And if there is, isn't there something in you that wants to know if there's something standing in your way? And if there is, to get rid of it and deal with it, well, it's time to let the doctor have his way. As we stand all over the house tonight, would you be obedient to the voice of God?